When Pastor Dave asked me to preach today, I realized it was the first Sunday of Advent, and I'm very much a traditionalist, but God had different plans for me. I don't know if you realize it, but the period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, actually New Year's, is the time when there are the highest numbers of suicide committed. I see Joe shaking his head, yes. Loneliness is what sets in at this time of year for a lot of people. I never realized that until back in 1959, I agreed to stay on college campus to take care of the library for a couple that I knew. They wanted to go home for Christmas, and they asked me if I would stay and basically be the watchman for the church library. A mansion of about 28 or 30 rooms. I said, yes, I would. I can't tell you how lonely I was that Christmas, realizing that my mom, my dad, my three brothers were back home celebrating Christmas, and here I am, the only person in this building. It was a very lonely time. So I want to go back to Psalm 68. And share with you some thoughts on God's answer to loneliness. And let me read the word of God to you. Rise up, O God, and scatter your enemies. Let those who hate God run for their lives. Blow them away like smoke. Melt them like wax in fire. Let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Father of the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free. He gives them joy. And he makes the rebellious live in a sun-drenched land. Lord, help us to realize that anyone here that is dealing with loneliness, you are the one who sets the prisoner free. And just help us to see this as we navigate our way through these verses and do some application. Our desire is that Christ be glorified. Your will and your purpose be done in Jesus' name. Amen. It was October the 4th, 1970. A singer who was very popular by the name of Janis Joplin was found dead in her hotel room. She was 27 years of age, and they were trying to decide whether this was an accidental death or suicide because there was a large amount of heroin in her room, and there were fresh needle marks on her arm. There was one clue that stood out because very shortly before her life passed, she shared with her closest friend, she said, "When I am not on stage, I just lie around and watch television. I feel very lonely." And there is a lot to be considered. Those words are freighted. I feel very lonely, because that strikes a sympathetic chord with all of us. We all know what it is in one way, whether we're young or old, to be lonely. And so, again, we want to take a look at that. Famous historian H.G. Wells, who wrote a tremendous number of volumes on the history of the world, said, "Today I am 65 and I am very, very lonely." As we study the Word of God, it's kind of interesting. We discover that God never intended for man to be alone. God never intended for us to be lonely, because we read when God created Adam, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." So he made a helper comparable to him. Back in Genesis 2, verse 18. And in our text this morning, notice what the psalmist has to say, and I repeat this a lot. God, who is the father of the fatherless and protector of widows, places the lonely in families, and he sets the prisoner free. He gives them joy. You know, in those few words, when you consider them, we learn something about a life of loneliness. I remember when my mother-in-law went home to be with the Lord, not too long afterwards, as I was talking to my father-in-law, he said to me, Jerry, loneliness is all that it is cracked up to be. He knew exactly what he was dealing with. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to take a look at three aspects of loneliness, because loneliness can be something that is good, or evil rather, but it also can be something that is good, depending on our attitude and how we approach those things. So let's take a look at the negative. First of all, there's what I would call the misery of loneliness, and it is miserable. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoner free. He gives them joy. Now, as we reflect on those words, it's kind of interesting because we have to take a look at the accuracy of the language that David uses here. His primary concern was the nation of Israel. They were in bondage. They were basically not walking with God at this particular time. And yet again, we take a look at these words and they apply to us today. What about the misery of loneliness? Well, first of all, there's what I would call boredom or solitude. God places the lonely in families. Simply stated, solitude means that I can be in a room full of people like this, and I can feel absolutely alone. Feel like there's absolutely nobody that I can relate to, nobody I can have a relationship with. And so, again, it's a condition of remoteness, and it does produce stress and anxiety. Those are kind of the components of that. So unfortunately, the attitude of constant boredom and stress and anxiety, not always, but very often results in suicide. This is why I was sharing with someone recently, when you take a look at prisoners of war who are placed in solitary confinement or are placed in a situation where they are in total isolation, they will ultimately take their lives if they have no other alternative. A New York City newspaper recently carried this report, and this kind of hit home with me. A body of a man over 70 years of age was recovered from the East River yesterday. On him, the police found a note that simply read, "I am James Barnes. No record, no relatives, no permanent address. I am just tired of living." And you know, that's a sad obituary. I am just tired of living. And as I read that, I asked the Lord, how many James Barnes do I walk by or I deal with every day in my life and every week in my life? And you know, my prayer is, Lord, open my eyes to see those people. They need somebody to reach out to them, someone to share with them, and someone ultimately to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Also, there is what I would call the bondage of servitude. God places the lonely in families. He sets prisoners free and gives them joy. Now, again, when we take a look at Egypt, at Israel, when they were in Egypt, they were in bondage. They were slaves. They could not think for themselves. They could not do things for themselves. They were absolutely miserable. And that's often true in our lives. You know, sometimes we're in bondage and it's hard for us to realize it. We might be in bondage to people who in actuality mean very little to us. We could be in bondage to fear. We could be in bondage to any number of things in reality, financial, etc. And so again, does that describe your life? Is that kind of the total miserable situation that you face? You're in bondage to this time after time. New Year's Day, 1979, a New York City millionaire who was very prideful. His pride was this: I have never in my life given anyone a tip for a gratuity for any service they have offered rendered to me. And it was interesting. It was an unforgettable tragedy because his chief accountant on that day committed suicide. First thing they did, obviously, take a look at the records of the company. They were in perfect order. Take a look at the records of the accountant who took his life. He was a bachelor, but the records were absolutely in order. The only thing they found was a letter that he left to his employer, and it read like this: In 30 years of working for you, I have never had one word of encouragement. I am fed up. And that's what he left behind. What a tragedy. So there is misery in loneliness. Because again, we're not created by God to be lonely people. And so I want to talk next about the ministry of loneliness, because there is a ministry that we can experience during lonely times. And it's very important that we recognize that. First, there is the ministry of loneliness that teaches us that it is rebellion that isolates a person in their life. The act of rebellion, because again, God's word says he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land, or as some translations put it, a desert place. So perhaps the best illustration I could give of this is one you're familiar with. It's recorded back in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 35. And Luke writes of the prodigal son. Rebellion not only isolated this son from his father and his sibling, but eventually it would isolate him from his so-called friends in a foreign land. He finally runs out of money. And how is he described by Jesus in this parable? He is described as a Jewish boy who ends up in a pig pen. He is feeding pigs and he is so hungry, he really desires to eat some of their food. But there's a redeeming feature in this as well, because in his loneliness, he is ultimately brought to himself. He comes to a point where he says this, "I will arise and go to my father's house." So again, we look at that and there is a redeeming factor there, because loneliness brought him literally to the end of himself, but in a positive way, he says, "I will arise and go to my father's house." That is one of the disciplines, obviously, of life. Some of you may be familiar with the ministry. You may have read about D.L. Moody, who really was kind of an international evangelist back in the 1800s. Moody was holding a number of crusades out in the eastern part of the States. And every night there was an elderly gentleman came to him, and every crusade he said, D.L., can I get up and say something? And this is what he did. He was given the permission. He would stand up and in a quivering voice, he would say something like this, "Is my son George in this meeting? George, are you here? I need to see you because I cannot die content without seeing you again." Then he would sit down. Every place they went to hold a meeting, the fellow would get up and share that. One night, a young man came to the hotel that D.L. Moody was standing in. He asked to see the evangelist. And it was George. And so as Moody talked to him, the evangelist asked him, he said, "How could you treat your father with such cruel neglect?" And the son's reply was simply this. He said, "Mr. Moody, I just never thought of my dad. In fact, I tried to do everything good that I could, and I just kind of wiped him out of my memory." And there was a father who was very lonely. It's a picture, really, of the prodigal in the far country again, because, again, we take a look at him, and basically, he had nobody, absolutely nobody, to turn to. I didn't know whether to share this or not, but I think I will. When we're thinking of loneliness, sometimes we don't realize how our actions affect others. Back in the 1940s, World Vision was birthed by a man by the name of Dr. Bob Pierce. Very, very godly evangelical man. Korea was on his heart. He was traveling back and forth to Korea after the war. He was reaching orphans. And if you ever study his life, he reached out to literally thousands of Korean orphans. He would come home for a week, maybe be back in Korea. Finally, he came home one day. He had several daughters, and his one daughter, who was 16, said, "Dad, I need you to stay home. I need you to be here with me." And when I read this, I'll be very truthful with you. I had been schooled that if a person commits suicide, that's self-murder, there's no way they go to heaven. But I've changed my thoughts on that because of what I read. Pierce, who was a godly man, sacrificed his whole family for ministry. And this daughter was reaching out to him, Dad, I need you. And he said, I'm sorry, I need to go back to Korea. So when Dad left to go to Korea, the 16-year-old daughter took her life. But she left a letter behind. And I remember reading that letter in the book, and it was to this effect. Dear Jesus, I love you. You mean all the world to me. You know how broken my heart is, but I have no human being I can turn to. So I want to be home with you. Think of the loneliness that was there in that individual's life. And again, here is someone who was doing what he felt was God's will, but literally sacrificed everything. And his marriage ended up in divorce. Thankfully, there was a bit of restoration before he passed away. Also, in the ministry of loneliness, we come to see that obviously rebellion is something that decimates a person's life. David writes this. He says, but he who is but he makes the rebellious like the sun-scorched earth. The Israeli Bible translation says, the rebellious must live in a parched land. They have to live in a parched land. So here is the prodigal son again, and it appears he had a lot of money. And while he had money, he had friends. He was very popular, and he spends all that in what is called riotous or wild living. Someone has said that the narrowest letter in our alphabet is I, and it's the middle letter of sin. So again, we take a look at that, and loneliness and sin can strip us literally right down to absolutely nothing so that we dwell in what is described as a parched land. I think all of us are familiar with Leonardo da Vinci's painting, The Last Supper. It is incorrect, but nonetheless, it is a masterpiece. And when Da Vinci was painting his masterpiece, he needed a model for his Christ. So he searched through Rome, and finally in one of the churches in Rome, he found a very handsome young man, and he wanted him for his model for Christ. So he hired him. Interestingly enough, the man, young man's name was Pietro Bandelli. So he painted him as his Christ. He continued on with the painting, and several years later, he wasn't finished yet. There was one disciple he hadn't painted, and that was Judas Iscariot. So again, he set out walking through Rome, looking for a man whose face would be so disfigured, and obviously a man who lived loosely in one thing and another. And finally, he found a man, and he wrote, and he said, I could hardly look on the face of this man. He was so villainous. So he hired him as his model for Judas Iscariot. Finished the painting, and he said this, I forgot to ask your name. And the beggar replied this, I am Pietro Bandelli. I sat as your model for Christ several years ago. You see, the sinful state of years has so disfigured that man that even Da Vinci did not recognize him. And so, again, it's an interesting thing because we take a look at sin. And sin, obviously, is something that degrades a person, it debases a person, and it really decimates a person. So, again, what we come to see is that when a person has come to a certain point in sin, hopefully they will recognize there is a way out other than suicide. Hopefully someone is there to share with them that there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is life everlasting in Christ. And you know, the hymn writer Charlotte Elliott, when she wrote those familiar words of Just As I Am, she said, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That is where we pray, and we try to help people to reach that particular point. Finally, there's what I want to call the mastery. We've dealt with misery, we've dealt with ministry, but last there is what I would call the mastery of loneliness. And again, David says, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. As I studied that, I came to realize that right here in God's Word, we really have the answer to loneliness. Again, God never intended for any of us to be lonely. He created us as social beings, and therefore we've got to relate to others. We've got to have others a part of our life. So let's notice several things. God cares for the lonely. And again, David's very adamant like this. God is a father to the fatherless. Have you ever felt you've been there? I'm fatherless. God is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy, and God places the lonely in families. Some of you may have felt somewhere along the line, maybe you feel that way this morning, but back in Psalm 124 and verse 4, David said, "No man cares for my soul." One translation says, "Nobody cares a bit about what happens to me." But I can assure you, God does. God really does care about what happens to you, because ultimately, as we study the Gospels, he sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth to die in your place on the cross of Calvary, in my place. And we have new life in Christ as we place our faith and our trust in him and in him alone. Musically, I'm enough of a dinosaur that I like Southern gospel music and country and Western. You know, I have a wide range of music. I can take anything but rap. I mean, I can go from Southern gospel to opera. I'm okay there, but rap, I'm sorry, can't deal with that. If you love it, I still love you. Interestingly enough, in country Western music, there were a number of songs that dealt with loneliness. For instance, some of these you might recognize if you're old enough. The most recent would have been Elvis Presley, "Are You Lonely Tonight?" Then there was Jim Reeves, who sang, he's a country gentleman, sang, "Have You Ever Been Lonely?" And when I was a little gaffer, probably about 8 or 9 years old, Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers did a record that was called "You Don't Know What Lonesome Is Till You Get to Herding Cows." So that has been a theme, and there is a lot of truth to that. So we find that God cares for and he calls the lonely. Again, verse 6 says, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free. He gives them joy. You know, after the fall, Adam and Eve really were prisoners. And there came that point when God came forward and he said, "Adam, where are you?" And that is a picture of a lonely individual cut off from God. We never have to be there. One of the joys in my ministry was meeting a gentleman by the name of F.H. Lacy. Back in the late 30s to 1940s, there was a group called the Cleveland Colored Quintet. Five colored men who went across the country and across the world singing the gospel. And Lacy was the last surviving member of the quintet. And we had the privilege of having him in services different times, but he always had a chorus that he sung that I absolutely love. "Jesus sets me absolutely free. He died on Calvary. He gives me liberty. Jesus sets me absolutely free. Oh, praise his name. And that's enough to make me sing. Yes, that's enough to make me sing. My sins are all forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. That's enough to make me sing." You don't know that, but in 1969, he passed away, but he was with us, and he adopted you and your brother Don as his grandchildren. So he took joy in the two of you, believe me. Again, I want to close with kind of a little bit of history. Back in the 1800s, there was a poor German immigrant who was sitting with her children in a railroad station waiting for a train. A gentleman came in. He was running to catch his train, but he noticed her. She looked so lonely. He stopped and he spoke to her. And her story was simply this, that coming across, she had buried her husband at sea. Now, here was her and her young children. They were on their way to Iowa, didn't know anybody. It was a strange land, and she just felt, "I have nobody." The stranger put a little bit of money in her hand, and he said, as he left for his train, he said, "Alone? Why, Jesus is with you. He will never leave you alone. He will never forsake you." One small act of kindness. 10 years later, that woman was telling her story to her newfound friends, and she said this: "That gentleman will never know what his gift and his words meant to me. When I was a small child, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I loved him. But over the years, I drifted away from him. And that brief word that was spoken to me in that railroad station was the call of God to my heart to come home. Come home to God." Yeah, there's the misery of loneliness. Don't stay there if you're there. There is obviously what we would call the ministry, and there are ways in which we are ministered to when we are lonely, but there is mastery in loneliness. God gives, God calls. It's ours to respond. You may be here this morning, and you're very lonely, and you have joy on your face, but emptiness in your heart. I just want you to know that I am here, the elders are here, and if that's your situation, we invite you to come. We want to pray with you. We just want to share Jesus with you because he loves you. On the other hand, you may be here and you know you're a very active part of this church or some church in the community, but I would challenge you on December the 11th as the Encounter Church goes out into the community and ministers to people by giving out gift cards to Giant, doing yard work and little odd jobs that need to be done, and helping people with minor home repairs, whatever needs to be looked after. Just would invite you to just be a part of that and help us to reach out to this community. And there are lonely people here who need help, and be able to say to them, Jesus loves you, and we want to show the love of Christ to you in some tangible way. Father, I want to thank you for your blessings to us, and I want to thank you that you're the God who is always there. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And Lord, I would pray for anyone here this morning that is lonely and feels they have no one to turn to. Just open their eyes to see that Jesus is standing there with open arms saying, I love you. I paid the price for your redemption. I love you, and I want to have a relationship with you. And may we as a church family also, with outstretched arms, say to the lonely, Christ put us here to minister to you, to share with you words of life eternal. Lord, this is our desire as we come to the end of this service, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.